You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard, and you're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I am here with Giada, and we are going to break down the best beauty moments of 2019 and like beauty products and also like the worst.
Yeah. Are you guys sitting down?
I know. There were some flops.
There were some flops in 2019, man.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Let's just give like a bit of your credentials. You are like a skincare and beauty expert.
Oh, thank you. I'm always learning. Always curious.
Yes.
Forever curious. Yeah. So I basically worked in beauty for 8 years now.
Yes.
Working at Temptu, L'Oreal, Glossier, doing everything from social media marketing to product development.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so you've seen some things. You've seen the influencer side of things. Yes. I didn't realize that you planned those like crazy influencer trips.
I know. I'm not that proud of that.
I know. Well, because it's changed the industry so much.
I know. And I don't know if it's for the best or the better.
But you've also been on the product development side. So like you've got it from all angles. Mm-hmm. We do have like a little bit of an outline. So
we do, because there's so much happened. So much happened in 2019.
Let's start with the best beauty launches.
Oh, the best beauty launches of 2019. Let me think.
You and I have one in common. Should we start with the Kevin Aucoin Glass Glow Highlighter, the face gloss? Because
first of all,
that is my bae.
I have like the Muji travel case, and I literally pump every like three of them. Just because you can put it all over. Mm. And I'm a big fan of, again, looking like yourself.
Yes.
So that gloss is something that is not too greasy, but it gives you a gleam.
Oh my
like,
God.
Gleam is the right word, right? Like it gives you the right shine. You reflect you reflect the light, and it's just like, it's perfect.
Whenever I post anything, a selfie, and I have that on, people are like, oh my God,
what is your skin right now?
And I'm like, it's makeup. Cause you know how some people will be, cause I just did this whole tutorial.
It's fake.
I did this whole tutorial that was like how to finesse the like note, like the flawless skin thing.
And you have a down pack too.
I know. It's like lots of layers, but that, Kevin, and I have the rose gold one.
Ooh, I have the gold one.
Yeah, because the gold one is actually, I think, really good for darker skin tones. And then they have a kind of like a silvery one.
Yeah, it's probably lighter skin tones.
For lighter skin tones. But I was really attracted to the rose gold one for some reason. So I've just been using that.
And you can see it though. Your undertones are pretty golden.
They are. Mm-hmm. And you can use it as an eye gloss, as a highlight, as you said, on your like clavicle.
Ooh. It's just like, no, I literally woke up like this.
I know.
So yeah, Kevin Aucoin, first of all, an icon.
I know. And rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Kevin Aucoin. I love that the brand is still coming out with iconic things.
Yes, innovation.
Innovation. And they think about Kevin. Like Kevin, if you think of his work, I'm thinking about Janet Jackson. I'm thinking about Naomi Campbell. I'm thinking that classic 90s look. They still look like themselves, but just a bit done up. And I think the glass glow is just amazing. So if you haven't tried it yet, just go to Sephora, get your little sample.
Exactly.
Try it out. And but like it's like a huge chunk.
Oh, I'm going to need a little bit. Easily 2 years.
You know what's crazy though? I always think about this. Like brands, like now that I'm creating my own, I'm thinking about replenishment. I'm like, you're going to buy this and you're never going to finish it.
I mean, the Sensual Skin Enhancer, his never concealer, I will die without finishing that. It is the most high coverage concealer I've ever used. And you use this much
like
of it.
Like a dot.
Like a dot, and you can do your entire face.
Kevin Aucoin, if you need help with
No, but I like it. I feel like I support the brand because I know it's going to be good value for money. I hate when you buy something and the packaging conceals how much product is actually in it. And you're like, oh wait, this is like a pump and a thing and a thing and a thing. And there's this much product in it. And I've spent a lot of money.
Always look at the fill size and the claim size. I know. Two different things.
Yep. Yep. Uh-huh. The number of ounces.
I love it.
But that for me, one of my like favorite aesthetics is like a glazed honey donut. Like I just feel like I just always want to look like a glazed, like
Glaskin, huh?
What are your other favorite beauty launches of the year?
So my other beauty launches of the year. So I've been a big fan of Caudalie.
Okay.
I know you and I have different points of views.
No. Okay. I'm not anti. I'm just not like
wowed.
I'm not like blown away. Yes. Okay. Continue.
So I've been using the Veno Perfect for quite some time.
Yeah, and you love it.
And I love it. But they came out with an essence.
Ooh.
And essence, I know, but you know what? Like essence is like one of those things. Like, do I really need this
another-ish?
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I don't know what compelled me. I think it was Jackie Aina.
Yes.
She did maybe a Harper's Bazaar bed with me or something like that episode. Yeah. I'm like, huh. But the way she explained it, and especially me, like I'm always looking for, again, that dewy, you know, plump, glossy look. And a lot of that is hydration.
Yes.
So I used it for a while and I was like, oh my God, it's so good.
It's good.
Because it's hydrating, but it also has brightening agents.
Yes.
So like glycolic, I believe, is in there. But not evasive enough where you can't use other actives.
Yeah.
So I just splash it on. I don't even use a cotton. I just splash it right on my hand and I plump it into my skin. It's working for me.
Yeah.
And I'm just impressed.
I mean, your skin's gorgeous. So it's clearly
working. Thank you, darling. I'm just impressed because Caudalie is like, it's always those brands that's like one launch away from like falling off.
I know.
You know what I mean? I'm like, if you come out with one thing that's bad, I'm like, all right, I'm going to just literally put you on the like, there's a top shelf and like under the sink.
Do you know what's interesting though? I feel like MAC has fallen off.
MAC is done off.
I know. We'll wait to get to the flop section to talk about that.
Sorry, MAC. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
No, but I used to love MAC. And I still, they're products that I still love. So we'll get to MAC.
Okay.
We'll get to MAC. Okay. One of my favorite beauty launches of 2019 was Fenty coming out with two new products. The Pro Filter Hydrating Foundation, which as a dry skin girl, the extra grapeseed oil that they added into that, I think, is incredible. Pat McGrath also came out with her foundation this year, which is gorgeous. And like, it looks like your skin. But
it literally
better.
Looks like your skin.
It's like the best ever. And like, I feel like I reserve that for special occasion moments. But I love the Hydrating Pro Filter foundation.
Okay. So I got it.
Okay. The hydrating one?
The hydrating one.
And you're not a fan. Okay.
Only because, again, that's why beauty is so compelling, because everyone has different skin types.
Their own thing, yeah.
And also different skin types.
Yeah.
The science of your skin literally is completely different.
Yeah.
So while you have maybe more drier skin, I am more in the oily, normal combination.
Okay.
So I'll put it on and I would literally be in the mirror like, yes, girl, we're about to go out there and slay. And then by 3 p.m., I'm like, oh my God, I'm a grease ball.
Oh my God. Do you set with powder though? Because that's what makes, so I feel like I've developed closer relationships with makeup artists. Shout out to Sonia. She's like, your stuff doesn't last because you don't set it with powder.
I never set with powder.
That's the key.
Only under my eye.
You have to set everything with powder. And that, and the Fenty, what do they call it? It's like called the filter powder.
The powder? Lit. See, I use that one under my eye, but not
use it everywhere.
Okay.
Light touch. You don't want to be cakey.
Yeah.
But that really makes it last.
I'm going to try it again.
And it makes it less greasy.
See, I put that in my donation box. I mean, I might take that back
out. Yeah, take that back out. Take that back out.
Okay, bet.
Okay, your other favorite beauty launch?
Yes. So the Pat McGrath, and I want to say it's 2019, the Pat McGrath mascara. Mascara is always hard because the wand has to be right. The bristles have to be right. The formula has to be just right. Not too wet, not too dry. The wear has to be right, but I don't know. That freaking feta lash is everything.
Fetish lash, I think something like that.
Something like that. As lit.
Are you wearing it now?
I'm not.
No, you're so lucky though, because you have bottom eyelashes, which I think is like the most gorgeous thing.
Thank you.
I would love.
It's a technique though. I have to like literally clump it together. Did you watch the Tracee Ellis Ross, her Vogue Get Ready With Me?
Yes.
Where she clumped the bottom.
Yeah.
It's such a science. I don't do all of that.
I have nothing to clump. I have nothing to clump. Yeah. It's a different struggle. But yeah, so I had that mascara and I lost it. You know, I'm always traveling and I'm not the most organized person in the world. It's not a secret.
Yeah, like, get you another one.
It just got lost somewhere. And I loved it for like the 2 days I had it.
But you did love it though, right?
I did love it.
Yeah. You're tough on mascaras. I see that.
I know, because like I'm just not impressed. But the Thrive Cosmetics Liquid Lash Extension Mascara is very good.
Liquid Lash
Extension. From Thrive.
Does it have fibers in there?
Yes.
Okay.
And a really good wand.
It's all about the wand and the consistency of it.
Yes.
Does it dry? Does it flake off?
No.
Oh, wait a minute. I need to try this.
No. Okay, let's move into the best beauty pop culture moments.
Okay. I'll go first. So.
Yes.
The Jackie Aina, Naomi Campbell moment.
That was a moment.
I don't know what was wrong with me. I like started tearing up.
I know.
I guess because, again, like I know the inner child in me just started crying because I just know how it feels growing up not seeing representation. And people underestimate how powerful it really is to see a basic 5-minute video of two iconic people coming from two different realms working together.
Yeah.
So there's so many different languages. There's so many different things. Like it's fashion, there's beauty.
Yep.
There's also different generations involved.
And there's digital, it's new school and old school.
It's new school, right on my freaking iPhone. And it's just iconic. And it just made me so happy. So that made me, if you saw my Instagram, I was like, oh my God.
I know. I also love just seeing that Naomi Campbell applies her makeup like me, like reckless, abandon. Like I'm like, this is me. But she's like, I just do a little of this.
I saw that. I'm like, this is Brooke to a T. Like she starts off here, with blends out everything on the side. I'm like, that is Brooke's technique.
That is me. Just like, but also when I was watching that, I was like, you are a statue. Like her skin, her bone structure.
Oh my God.
I was like, it's like,
do you think that's Botox?
I mean, we've seen pictures of her since she was 15, 16. She's been flawless. She's been flawless since she was a young teenager. And she's...
What the hell?
She's just genetically blessed, which...
Yeah, that's what, fine.
That's what supermodels are. Supermodels have like won the genetic lottery.
She's like, oh, my job? I'm a model.
Oh yeah. She's like, I have to wear my face.
I can't. I'm a model. Yeah. Jackie's like, all right, cool, but...
I know Jackie's like for the rest of us. But I mean, and Jackie's gorgeous too. But
yes.
Yeah, that was a moment.
I love it.
Mine isn't like a specific moment, but I think Lizzo, everywhere she went in 2019 for me was like a high, because Lizzo to me is, we talk about diversity and inclusion and, you know, embracing different sizes and different people and queer identity. We talk about all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Lizzo's popularity and her owning who she is like the manifestation of all of those things.
She gives zero.
And she's
zero
gorgeous. And everywhere she shows up, she is giving a look.
Mm.
She is giving you personality. She is giving you talent. And like, for me, every
multiple
place,
talents.
Oh my gosh, when she was like playing the flute and like twerking.
Even Rihanna was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, let me give a standing ovation. Even when she just showed up at that event and she had that like little bag. She's been wearing lots of Christopher John Rogers to supporting Black designers.
Yes.
But she always has like an amazing hair look, an amazing beauty look. And what I love about her is like this just being comfortable in your skin.
Yeah.
Because we talk about it a lot, but like who's really out here doing it and repping?
I live for it. I'm very big on energy. And I feel like her energy is like, regardless of what you say about me, I am going to be here.
Yes.
But like, she basically is like, this is me. And you have to just accept who I am.
Yes.
I love it.
Whenever I like need like a pick me up, I feel like I just put on Lizzo. I do my makeup.
What's your favorite song?
Ooh, I like Tempo with Missy Elliott.
Of course, come on.
That's a great song. What's your Lizzo fave?
So the song is in my head because
I'll hum a little bit of it.
Okay. Dun, really off the goose. Dun, 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 dun. That was off. It's one of those like New York City walking, like, okay, it's 12 o'clock. I came from my meeting. Let me get going. Yes, you know what I mean? Yes.
And I love Truth Hurts. Why men great till they gotta be great?
Oh.
A word.
Let's not talk about that. That's like a whole different that's a different podcast.
That's a whole other podcast. I know. But Lizzo.
Brooke, you're married. It's different.
I know.
But I see dudes out here in this dating space.
I've got
New
friends.
York City.
I hear things.
All the things.
Okay. Other big beauty pop culture moments for me on my list was Euphoria.
Mm.
And, you know, I've been emailing with the lead makeup artist of Euphoria because I'm dying to get her on. She's shooting in Georgia right now. And I'm like, just like, please, like, let's make it work. Like, I think her shooting schedule's crazy. But for me, did you watch Euphoria?
Did I?
Yes. Incredible.
Oh, my God.
What a show.
What a show. Like, that's one of those shows that you literally have to mentally prepare. Yeah. You know, you watch like these sci-fi movies where you have to like literally travel to another universe.
Yeah.
That's how I feel when I put on Euphoria.
Yeah.
Number one, Zendaya, like you've never seen her before.
I know.
The makeup looks, what the hell?
I know.
The scenarios, what the hell? Like, I've never seen, like, I don't want to be in that high school. I don't want to go through that.
Shout out to our teen Naked Beauty listeners.
Yeah.
My heart goes out to you because.
No, kudos.
It's a wild experience being a teenager today.
With social media being a thing and like the pressures are on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the makeup looks though, oh my God. What?
Iconic, incredible. And I feel like for so long, and like you were at Glossier, you were a part of this, there was this like, girls want makeup, but they don't want too much makeup. Mm-hmm. And too much makeup is like, I don't know, somehow tacky, or it's like for drag queens. And it was like, oh, we just want to be soft and natural. Mm-hmm. And then Euphoria came and it was like, guess what? We actually want to be pulling out looks. We want neon. We want rhinestones.
It's like Studio 54, but like in 2019, but like high school, it's a lot. Maybe a House of Yes.
I love it because I think it's really reclaiming makeup as self-expression.
Oh, good one. Because it literally matched every character.
Yeah.
It matched the occasion.
Yeah.
So interesting. Glitter. Yes. I have glitter on now.
I know. I love
Euphoria.
It. Euphoria. And I love that like just girls are in their bedroom at home in the suburbs recreating these looks. I follow the Euphoria makeup hashtag.
Crazy.
Highly recommend following this hashtag because I find so many like amazing like amateur makeup artists just doing these looks. And I think that show and the whole Euphoria makeup aesthetic has unlocked, for me at least, this idea that you can play with color on your face. And it's not about looking like there's, yes, like I want to just look like myself on the best day possible. But sometimes you want to look like you're wearing makeup.
That's right. Extra.
Yes.
Lean into your extra.
Exactly.
I went to Seattle.
Okay.
And I went to like this ice cream shop, I believe. And this girl.
Cold, rainy Seattle, which is like not random. Known for being the sexiest place on earth.
At all. Especially not for makeup.
Yeah.
And I get there and this girl turns around and her makeup. She has like rhinestones down her face.
Yes,
okay. She had liner. I wish I could. I actually have her Instagram, but she's like, I'm like, holy crap, your face. She's like, oh my God, it really means a lot that you said something about my makeup because no one's even paying attention. I'm in Seattle. I'm like, you look amazing. And she was like this high school girl. And like, she's like, yeah, I just, you know, went to Forever 21 and made these amazing looks. I'm like, I wish I had that in high school. I didn't do that in high school.
I was just putting on black eyeliner from MAC. And like,
I was just trying to master a cat eye.
I know.
Kudos to you guys.
Yes.
You guys actually inspire me.
Same.
Yeah.
The young girls and boys, right? I think this was a big year for seeing men experiment with makeup.
Slaying, beating the face.
Slaying. Yes. Shout out to Wei of Yao. He has an incredible, he calls himself the king of color. He does these really bold, like neon eye looks. I met him this year in London. He's just, I look at him and I'm like, I aspire.
I still need to master eyeshadow. I'm still trying to get there.
Do you understand that I'm like, where are your cream eyeshadows that I can apply with my finger? Because that's the level that I'm at.
Like, second, like, closest, like.
I still, and as much as I love Pat McGrath products, I still do not have one of the palettes. Every time I get my makeup professionally done, I'm like, please use the palettes.
Right.
I'm like, but I'm not blending out and smoking out a four color. I just don't have the skill.
It's collectible for me. Even the Anastasia Beverly Hills ones, they're just so beautiful and I just literally collect them. And
do you have the Jackie Ina palette?
I sure do.
Is it gorgeous?
I have support. It's gorgeous. Every color does work for us.
Okay.
It's great.
It pops.
It pops on us or it just shows up because sometimes, you know, ashy as hell, but it actually shows up on you, but I just don't know how to use it.
I know. It's hard. I watch tutorials and I'm like, ooh, but
beautiful. Then
I try to do, and the colors get like muddy. Like, I think that's like, because they say blend, and I blend so much that it's like,
too much.
The color is lost. And then I'm like, just wipe it all off. I'm like,
damn.
You tried to do too much.
Damn, this is what happens.
Exactly. Any other big beauty pop culture moments?
All right. So one other thing that came to mind was the Netflix special Broken.
Yes.
So it talked about basically counterfeiting and the rise of social media and makeup and all its influencers. One influencer's made upward $22 million a year on makeup.
That...
You should see Brooke's face right now. She's like, I ain't buying it.
Well, when she said I've made $22 million, I was like, is that profit?
It gross margin. You're like, what does that
mean? I mean, you've worked in the beauty industry, so yeah. you have a better sense of what's like a realistic figure. But did that mm-hmm. number seem realistic to you?
Because
I wasn't even familiar with that beauty creator.
I was going to say that. I was like, who are you? Like, who are you? Who said you?
I mean, she seems great. Like, no shade to her at all. But like, I know Jeffree Star.
If it was like Nikki Tutorials, perhaps.
Right,
it would make a little bit more sense. I have no idea who that influencer was. Yeah,
James Charles. $22 million a year. But
that's a lot.
But here's the thing.
That can't be, though. Because think about it. Like, Fenty made how much?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't remember the top of my head. But like, those are big numbers. And what I'm realizing now, especially starting my own thing, people inflate numbers out the wazoo. Mm-hmm. And they will use data points to basically prove whatever they want to prove.
Yeah.
So no, it didn't seem realistic to me at all.
The realism of that number aside, this was a big year for like beauty personalities and creators mm-hmm. making bank. Like
the nettle.
Yes, like James Charles, Jeffree Star, Jackie Ina,
Jeffree Star,
Manny.
Oh my God, I can't believe he's whatever.
Yeah, but they're making money, which I honestly think is empowering mm-hmm. because it's like L'Oreal, Estee Lauder, like these major brands have to realize that they've only been able to come in because you've left a vacuum. Mm-hmm. Like you've left this space on the table and the consumers want more choice. They want different things.
Yeah.
And people are coming with the product.
Transform, like just transparency, being able to relate to an influencer. Yeah. Again, like you may trust someone because they have the same shade as you.
Yeah.
I just thought that the documentary was very important because, again, this space of beauty, we're talking about $500 billion a year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just consuming palettes, soaps, all these other things. Not to talk about women of color spending $7.5 billion a year on products, including hair care and all these other things. But like, the counterfeit market. I know for you, it's probably not as shocking, but to me, it's shocking because like when I go back to Senegal, that's what's on the market.
Really?
Like you go to the supermarkets and you'll see like a Kylie Jenner lip kit and you're like, oh, that's so smart. Why pay full price when you can get bootleg? And it's like people are buying this and your lips are freaking glued together.
Oh, I know.
That or you're girl, having to go to the emergency room.
And she had her lips super glued together from using a counterfeit Kylie lip kit.
Just trying to look cute. Come out here with glued lips together. It's a huge problem back home for us.
Really?
So I didn't realize that it wasn't just in Africa, but this is like all over the whole world.
God, yeah.
And then also with the whole trying to fill demand with Kylie talking about, oh, we're sold out. You didn't sell out.
Mm-hmm.
You had an inventory of maybe 100,000.
You limit supply to generate more demand.
For marketing purposes, which is kind of corny, but it's just like that documentary was like, wait, what the hell is going on in this market? There's so many like unturned stones.
Yes.
That is just a lot.
Yeah, because counterfeit bags, if they're made with child labor, that's obviously horrible and terrible.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, like I go to Istanbul at least once a year.
I saw your Instagram.
Yeah, and I don't personally believe in buying fake bags, mm-hmm. but the artists, like there are amazing craftspeople making these bags, and some of them are better than the real thing. And those are, and I think if you choose to buy a fake, whatever, Celine or a Fendi or whatever bag, and it's not made by children, it's fine. Like LVMH isn't taking a huge financial loss. What concerns me about the popularity of these really coveted beauty brands that people are buying fake versions of, it's like you're putting it on your skin.
Face. Oh my God. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Like an eyeliner, you could just wake up with like styes out the wazoo. Then there's like there's an influx of like eye infections that are happening.
Oh, it's so
it's
sad.
It's just too much.
Yeah. No, that was a very illuminating documentary.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Broken on mm-hmm. Netflix. Everyone should check that out.
Yes. What else happened in pop culture?
Oh, one of my moments, Normani's music video. It was before the VMAs.
I actually was not ready for that.
Wasn't ready. And it was like,
I was not ready for that.
Beautiful, dark skin.
Brown girl. Even the 106 in Park moment in the beginning.
I was like, that was me.
Harlem. Oh my God.
That was me watching 106 in Park. And she was, I mean, Normani's beautiful, stunning.
Yes.
She's like broken away. What was that group she was in? I like don't even remember the name.
Ooh, shade.
Yeah, no. But like, she's had this
oh my God, I was about to say DNA Cage.
Oh my God. Shout out to Danity Kane. But like,
Danity Kane,
it was this beautiful tribute to also like 90s beauty. And, you know, one of the questions I ask a lot on this show are like, who are the beauty inspirations that you looked up to growing up? Because I really believe that growing up watching these music videos, it does inform your sense of what's beautiful.
Yes.
And I can remember watching music videos. Like, I remember there was a Janet Jackson video where she was like,
Janet, honey,
like on a road trip. The one that's like back on the road again.
Oh my God, with the crinkly hair. With the crinkly hair box braids. No.
No, she didn't have braids. She had like, she just had like,
it's like careless, carefree black girl.
She was gorgeous in that. I can remember like Ashanti video. I just remember growing up and watching 106 in Park and seeing these. And so for her to take that moment.
Aaliyah
was
on
everything.
Aaliyah still to this day, I'm like stalking. Like Instagram profiles that's dedicated to Aaliyah.
Oh, I know. She was so
iconic different. Makeup. Okay.
I know. Even her hair looks.
Her hair,
I mean,
her eyebrows.
She was definitely a relaxed girl. Like it was always super straight.
Oh, I stand for that though.
But like, I loved her hair. And,
so
I, and it like makes me like, I think about if she was around today, like would she be in the lace front thing? Like, I feel like I love the way her hair looked.
I think she would have transformed. I think she was very experimental.
Maybe she would have been natural.
Yes. The same way Rihanna is like just give me anything and I'll slay it. That's Aaliyah. Is Aaliyah. Of course she passed away, but I still feel like she's here with us.
I know.
No, I think she would have been way more like out there, like Fifi Dobson, Rihanna, like just like trying.
Fifi Dobson.
Wow. She would have been like out there trying like different, you know, experimenting. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
And speaking of Rihanna, I feel like she just had like one
the year
slow motion post of her walking. And that like was a 2019 beauty moment for me.
A mood.
And I think we talk about body positivity a lot, and I think the way she truly embraces her body, regardless of what size she is, what she's done with Savage, she is really pushing the boundaries of like what size is considered beautiful, and also just like, you know, she loves herself.
How can you not? I mean, look at her.
I mean, yes, exactly. But I think she's such a powerful beauty icon.
I think so too. And I also think that she is just like us in the sense that she's like, oh shit, I'm a size 8. You know what? I'm going to run with this shit.
Yeah.
Actually, Arnaud, I want to create a brand.
Yes.
I want it to be luxury and I want it to have go up to like size 14.
Yeah.
I think that Rihanna, because I remember her older, like younger days, quote unquote, you know?
Yeah.
Where there was a song where she was like, I've never been like a size 6 my whole life. I forget what the song was.
Okay.
But she opens that and I'm just like, oh God. She's like, this is her version of beauty.
Yeah.
Probably based on who she's dating or all these other influences of the industry. And here she is, gorgeous as hell, plump. She's like, no, I'm not pregnant. I had food.
Yes.
Okay. And like, I am enjoying my life and this is happy weight and I'm in a relationship and I'm in love. And that inspired me because I gained weight too. I'm like, I'm going into my older body. I'm more curvy.
You're 29.
I'm 29, going into my 30s. I'm more curvy and I just had to be okay. Like, okay, I'm not the college girl, anyone who just had that metabolism where I can eat whatever I want, drink whatever I want, do whatever I want. And I just have to be okay with that. Like, am I happy with that?
Yeah.
So I actually am deeply inspired.
Yeah, same. Yes. I'll add one more moment to the list. Beyonce's homecoming.
How could we?
Because.
Oh.
But her transparency around talking about the baby weight.
Mm-hmm. How many pounds did she gain? 60? 50?
Oh, really? I don't remember the number. But I remember her saying, one, I'll never do this again in terms of trying to like do this concert. You know, it was basically tracking her journey up to her Coachella performance. Mm-hmm. And it showed her
plant-based,
struggling.
Vegan. Imagine eating freaking greens and water and having to perform at that endurance level.
Oh yeah. She was practicing for hours a day.
Hours a day. And like the pressure of it all, you're probably still breastfeeding because the babies were still young.
I know.
Like all those things, like why are we doing this to each other again?
I know.
And like, and then for her to be like, oh Jay, look at my body. He's like, oh, that's cute. I'm like, no, wait.
I also get, for me at least, I didn't see it as like vanity. Like she's trying to get to a certain size to like look cute in a dress. It looked like an athlete conditioning for like the Super Bowl. Like I think she wanted to be in shape so she could get up there and dance for hours.
I don't know.
You think it was like vanity driven?
I think it's Beyonce. What about Beyonce is not vanity driven? Everything down to her manicure is always picture perfect.
True.
And like every single Instagram caption, every single, come on, like her Super Bowl, like all those bad images were taken down within 48 seconds.
But
so,
but I admire the transparency because she could have edited out.
Like this is, I just woke up like this.
Every single part of her struggling to get in shape for that concert.
I love a struggle, Beyonce. I just love to be able to say, okay, I can be great, but also go through my times. That's why I love Serena's like HBO special.
Oh, yes.
Going into that and like that was like, oh my God. Like you're just so used to her being great. You have no idea what goes like her crying, her going almost through a near death experience with the babies. You know what I mean? Like all these other things that you don't really think about. I appreciate. I need real moments.
That's the power of telling our stories.
Right? Yeah.
We need more of that in 2020. Okay. Should we go into the biggest beauty flops?
Oh my God. Yes. Let's do it.
I believe like, you know, this new question I ask on my show that I've like changed a little bit is like, what are your biggest beauty mistakes? Because I always think there's value in learning from your mistakes.
True.
So like there are things that we can learn from these beauty flops.
Okay.
And brands listening. I know you're listening.
Uh-huh.
Learn from these. You want to go first?
So I am a fan of Lady Gaga. Mm-hmm. And I loved her A Star Is Born. I was just on the train. I was just like ready for her. She went through all this drama. I don't know what her Netflix, Five Foot.
5 Foot Two or something
like that. So I was just ready for this brand to come and change everything.
Yeah.
That brand launch was a flop.
House of Gaga? Was that what it was called?
I don't even know. House of Labs? Laboratory houses.
Oh gosh. I know it was house.
Not laboratory houses.
H-A-U-S.
Right.
And I was like, okay.
It's just late. It was, the beat was off and you could tell that it didn't get the love and attention that it probably needed. And granted, I know she's probably going through a million things, but this just goes to show you it's not okay just to slap your name on things anymore, right? We've passed the Paris Hilton, this is my new fragrance.
Right.
You know, the franchise phase.
Rihanna changed all of that.
She changed all of that. You have to be involved. We want to see the process. Mm-hmm. Why does this exist? Why is it more important than anything else? It was just so weird to me.
Yeah.
From the branding, from it being on Amazon to her just like, it's ready, to her makeup artist involvement. It was just off for me. That was a flop for me.
I like knew about it peripherally. Like I didn't, I can't even tell you any of the signature. Was it eyeshadow? Like what was it even?
I think she came out with like eyeshadows.
Okay. Listeners, if you've tried the Lady Gaga product, I would actually be genuinely curious to hear what they're like. Cause I want to know.
I would love to know too. Yeah. But I have no inkling to even go to the website.
I know. Yikes. I know. And she's huge. So that's the other
thing. Lady freaking Gaga.
People assume if you have a huge audience that it's going to be.
Yeah.
But it's like, nope. Because the beauty community, I will say one thing, as messy.
Involved.
Yeah. As messy as the beauty community is, like, you are not going to pull the wool over our eyes.
No. Even if it was Beyonce.
Oh my gosh. I, to this day, feel like Beyonce could make a beauty product that I would, and I'm, you know, I'm a Beyonce
Beehive
stan.
Okay.
I'm like the
representante.
I am deep in the hive. She could make a skincare line. She could make a cosmetics line that I wouldn't buy.
Yeah.
Which is really saying something if I wouldn't buy something she made. But unless it's like also great, I don't need.
Why do I need this? Like, unless I know that you perform with this and you, this like sweat proof.
Yes.
Or this is like, you know, like, I don't know, intensive training proof or like the IL looks amazing. The ingredient list. Why are we here?
Yeah. You really turned me on though to like ingredient lists though. Cause I remember I was trying the Pat McGrath foundation and you were like, there's alcohol in that. And I was like, what? No, you said in the IO. Yeah.
The IO.
And I was like, the what? And you were like, the like ingredient order, like alcohol is really high up. And I like looked and I did my research and I was like, you are completely correct.
And that's fine. You can wear it for stage. You can wear it for an event. Yeah. But like wearing it every single day, your face will break out.
Yeah.
Unless you have some resilient ass skin.
And I have sensitive skin. Some people can wear products with all of the chemicals in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, that's why I reserve the Pat McGrath Foundation for special occasions.
And that's fine, right?
Yeah.
It really depends. Like if you want your everyday go-to thing, you need to be more gentle.
So do you wear makeup every day? Because I do.
Every
day, but
right.
Monday through Friday,
I'm a wake-up makeup wearer. Unless I'm like, if I have appointments, I have meetings all the time, I'm definitely wearing makeup.
But for me, I don't see it as a chore. Like, I love putting on makeup.
I look at myself, I'm like, look at you.
Exactly.
Basic to 100. I'm like, ready.
Yeah, and I think about how how it complements my outfit and my look for the day. I love it.
Yeah.
So many guests in 2019 have come on my podcast to say,
how do I makeup?
Well, but also I've stopped. Like, I just don't do it. And my skin is better for it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, is this going to happen to me? Like, am I going to stop wearing makeup? Like, I feel like I'm not going to because I really love it.
Everyone wants to aspire to like that. Not, let me not say everyone because I can't speak on everyone's behalf, but like that Tracee Ellis Ross glow where like when you put on makeup, you walk in like, wow. I don't know. I think it's just like this, that again, that 0 to 100 phase when everyone's so used to seeing you quote unquote basic.
Yeah.
And then you come and you walk through the door with like a face of makeup on. I'm like, oh my God, who is this goddess?
Yeah.
So I think there's
but don't
that.
You think we can still do that? Cause I feel like I have my like, every day. Mm-hmm. And then like for the Naked Beauty brunch, I was like, I'm going to give a blue.
Oh my God. You guys, I'm going to give the pictures. Brooke had me shook the ponytail, the blue liner.
Yes.
I stand.
Because most my makeup skills, I feel like I've mastered like a natural beat. For me, I don't see putting makeup on as a chore. So I don't aspire to stop wearing makeup.
I guess I have a complex relationship with it because I feel my most beautiful, most beautiful. I feel beautiful when I have clear skin.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
I feel plump and nice and dewy naturally. So I guess I get the why people are drawn to that.
Yeah.
Or why they aspire to it. But I get what you're saying too. Again, it's a scale, right?
Totally.
It depends on where you're going. It depends your day. It depends on your damn mood. It can depends on the weather.
Yeah. And sometimes what I love is when I'm not in the mood to do makeup, I don't feel compelled to.
Right.
I don't feel like, oh my gosh, I have to put on makeup if I'm going to go outside and be presentable.
Which is a blessing because some people like literally cannot walk outside their door without a full beat face.
And I would argue that that's way more in their head than they think. Mm-hmm. Like I think, oh my gosh, you watch a Black Lady sketch show?
No.
Oh my gosh, you have to watch it on HBO. Okay. There is a hysterical episode where this woman basically says like, I look dead without makeup. And her coworker's like, oh, that's just in your head. And she comes and she's like literally a cadaver. They're like,
I actually did watch
resuscitating her. It's like so funny. But I think that most all of our skin is better than we think it is, right? And we're comparing ourselves to these very airbrushed
Beyonce
images. And also like whenever people are like, oh my gosh, Brooke, your skin is amazing. I'm always quick to like DM a quick response back on all my at Naked Beauty Planet put like, I'm wearing makeup because I just want people to know
the reality of it.
And then sometimes I truly have no makeup on and that's a different thing. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, am I going to like stop wearing makeup? Because everyone seems to like reach this like enlightenment period. They're like, I just don't wear makeup anymore.
Okay, so
like they're like above it.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want people to think that you're above makeup. I think it's just literally just a makeup choice and a makeup style. The same way you choose boyfriend jeans versus like skinny tight jeans.
Yeah.
It depends on how you feel.
Yeah, which
what I don't like is the conversation of I am better than you or I'm greater than you because my skin is XYZ or quote unquote good skin. Well, that I don't like.
Oh, yeah.
So like just because you don't wear makeup anymore, that's why people are very touch and go with the whole Alicia Keys movement.
Yes.
It was like, oh, now she doesn't wear makeup on every single photo shoot. Oh, great. She's above this.
Yeah.
That's a bit, you know, touch and go.
Yeah.
But if you, again, whatever you feel you're most beautiful in, but for me, the minimalist, I think we have the same makeup style, looking like yourself, but best believe when it's time to beat the face, honey, I am down for all the shenanigans, all the glitter.
I know.
I love it. I just love it.
I love it too. The only thing I feel like I'm slightly getting over and may not bring into 2020, fake eyelashes.
Really, Brooke?
Yeah.
Really?
So the individual lash extensions I will never do again.
Okay, yeah.
It's just
like I'm done.
I am absolutely done with that. But even the like strip lashes, they look great, but I feel like my eyes get tired. Like as soon as I walk in the door, I'm like ripping those bad boys off. And it feels like it adds this like extra heaviness to my face. And I just,
I don't know. I personally, all of 2019, I can count on my fingers how many times I wore, like on one hand, how many times I wore extensions.
Yes,
like,
same for me probably. Strips. But every time I did the strips, I was like,
not even worth it. No, I just been, you know, clunking on these lashes, like on like the Pat McGrath or doing like a different technique.
Yeah.
But I haven't been on the lash. I get what you're saying. I'm just shocked because we were talking about it before, like Naked Beauty, like, oh my God, it looks better in pictures. I'm just thinking about pictures. Like it always looks better on video, on camera.
You're
like
true.
Lashes look better.
It's true. That's so true.
You know what I mean? But in real life, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. When I did my Naked Beauty live show, which you came to, thank you. I got my face beat. And I was definitely, best believe I was definitely wearing lashes. And then when I did my Naked Beauty brunch, I wore lashes as well. And then there have been a few like parties and things where I'm like, I didn't need to do that for a wedding.
Yeah. I hear you. I hear you. That's called being grown.
True.
And
true.
Choosing what extra quote unquote weight we want to carry.
But also, I think there's something modern about. It's so funny. I watch these YouTube tutorials and sometimes I love the makeup until they get to the point where they add these like Spiderella, like I'm like, these are too long.
These bat lashes. Yeah. Like
it like kind of like dates, like it makes the look too extra sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you didn't need that.
Girl, YouTube makeup is a whole different thing. It's a whole different world.
And then they're getting the affiliate code from the lashes that they're applying. So that's a whole other thing.
The whole other layers.
That's the thing about these tutorials. Every product they put in is another like sponsored opportunity. Right. So sometimes they're putting on like 7 different blushes and they're like, I blend this one and then this one. Cause it's like all different brands, but also get your money.
That's what I'm saying. That's what we have to understand. Like YouTube is a space for me to get inspired. I never go to YouTube and recreate something from A to Z. I've never done that. I've tried. Really?
Yeah, I've tried.
How long did it take you?
A long time and such a fail.
Like an hour and a half. Like, okay, yeah. I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things I forgot to mention for my favorite like beauty products of the year, it's not a new product, but Altrino. This was the first year that I used retinol in my skincare routine.
I'm still scared of retinol.
So I was scared. I was like, I'm all natural. Like, because I try to keep my skincare as natural as possible. That's like my big...
Die laughing with the book. Like, well, so I'm natural, so...
Yeah, no, because I am. And like, I makeup is my toxic thing, but it's on and then it's off. But I just feel like for your skincare, just like nourish your skin. And I tried one retinol. I think it was called Atrolin, and it was a gel-based retinol. I should say tretinoin, but it made my skin dry and peeling. And I was like, this is not cute.
In the beginning?
Yeah. And then, but I know that it's like a drying ingredient. And then I had a conversation with my dermatologist, Dr. Jones, who I've had on the show. And she switched me to a lotion based retinol, which is Altrino. It's $110 with a prescription.
Okay.
I think it has made the biggest difference in my skin. I've done microneedling this year. I've done facial. I've done everything.
Yeah, I've seen.
You've seen. You guys have seen on my Instagram. But using retinol 2 to 3 times a week, I think has changed my skin more than anything. Try it. Try it for 2020. Do you have a dermatologist?
I do not have a freaking dermatologist.
Okay, go to Dr. Jones.
Okay, number one. I'll be getting a 2020 list to do. Okay, I'm going to do it.
Just try. I think you'll... I mean, you already have really good skin, so you're starting with excellence.
It's, you know what it is? Better. I'm prone to dermatitis. So when I do too much, my skin's like, no. And I'll break out all over my skin. Yeah. And it's very small.
Yeah.
Like little like bumpy textures or like on my chin, on my definitely my forehead area. So I've always been nervous about that.
Yeah.
So I went to one dermatologist when I was working in PD and Glossier. I just kept putting things on my face. Like every freaking week was something different.
I can only imagine. Right.
You're like, oh, this is a part of the job. I'm like, girl, this is one face. Anyway, so I went to the dermatologist and they're like, oh, you have atopical dermatitis, which is pretty typical, especially for women of color. So I've been just scared of retinol.
Yeah.
Because everything I put on my skin that's too aggressive is like, my skin's like, girl, sit down.
Can I tell you one big story? This is the biggest beauty fail of 2018 for me. Speaking of atopical dermatitis, I blame the jet lag and disorientation from traveling. I tested skincare at a freaking airport, like at one of the duty-free shops. When I tell you that I had the worst rash, like a full-blown dermatitis, like I needed to get like an antibiotic topical spray. And literally they're like, what were you thinking? And I was like, honestly, what was I thinking?
What?
Testing. It was like an SK-II or like a Shiseido or like a Chanel. But like, again, when you have these miserable fails, you learn.
Don't do it again.
Never. If you're in a Sephora, if you're in an Ulta, literally never, ever, ever test any. Don't test lip gloss. Don't, even if they have the separate wand. Don't do it, because a million people have dipped into that wand and there is God knows what bacteria in it.
The most that I'll do is a pump.
Yes, but even pumps, what if the opening to the pump is contaminated?
Yeah.
Like, we live in New York City.
This is very true. But I literally never pump. Like, even Sephora testers, like, if I want to try something at home, I rarely do that because of that.
Yeah.
I used to work at Sephora, you know? I've literally seen people...
Oh, people
beat their whole face.
Yes.
With testers, you know what I mean? So it's kind of eerie, but, like, only for, like, swatches if I want to know my color.
Oh, swatches on your hand.
Yeah.
Fine.
But whatever I do, I literally test on my hand. I never... Okay.
People put on eyeshadow.
I do. I'm not gonna lie.
Test eyeshadow on your eyelid?
No.
Okay.
Brooke.
Yeah. Like maybe. I mean, I'm one to judge. I literally put moisturizer, probably from like a jar. Like, it's
you scooped it in your. It was jet lag.
I was like delirious. My husband was like, what were you thinking? I was like, I don't know. I was hungry. We had been flying. We had like a 2-hour layover.
Tired.
And you know, international airports have the best duty free.
They sure do. Very luxurious. Estee Lauder suite, everything.
Yeah, I was just doing the most.
I hear you.
Okay. Other beauty flops of 2019. I think for me, it's not even a flop. It was just a reckoning. Estee Lingerie. Shout out to their journalism.
Girl.
This whole expose they've done on bullying in the beauty industry.
It's so real.
I mean, let's just go down some of the brands that were named. Charlotte Tilbury, Tata Harper, Estee Lauder, definitely. L'Oreal, definitely. Sunday Riley, and the whole fake review scandal where they were literally writing these fake reviews of their products.
Finally got busted. FTC is nothing to joke with.
Yeah. What other brands were named in that scandal? I mean,
yeah, I think those were the main ones that were mentioned.
Yes. And just
MAC, of course, Estee Lauder.
Yes. Yes. And just this culture of bullying.
Rude.
And it's so interesting because all of these beauty brands talk about like women empowerment and
they,
and it's like, and then you hear from the women that work there and they're like, I lived in fear every single day. I was bullied every single day. I was judged for the way that I looked. I remember I read one and you guys should check out if you go to the, I'll link to it in the show notes and you can go, they have it saved in their highlights. But one of the ones that I read was someone worked for some skincare company and she was doing lots of like client facing presentations and speaking on stage. And she said, she changed something about her medication and she started to break out and they like just literally pulled her off of everything. Like, you're not going to speak anymore when you look like this, pretty much. And that just made me so sad because we're in a workplace, right?
Yeah.
What is the I'm not a model. What is the content of what I'm saying?
Right.
Right.
Right. I've been there. So this doesn't surprise me at all. Like I've literally been bullied in a workspace and it's just like, okay, there's so many different things to it, right? It's like, okay, this is the job that pays me. But then when you're going through it again, Monday through Friday, sometimes, especially if you're working on social, you're working weekends. These are the teams that you have to kind of touch base with every single day.
Yeah.
And it's tough. And then it's totally like layered because there's one thing with like cattiness within the office, but then it's racial, you know, it's all the things. Like I would never forget there was like a fire drill at one of my jobs. And like this white lady literally grabbed my ass.
Wait, you stay with the wildest workplace discrimination.
I'm pretty sure I have like plenty of lawsuits just like probably waiting to be filed. But like
every time what do you mean she grabs your ass?
So it was a fire drill.
Yeah.
And I wore a very must admit, it was a pretty clad almost like a DVF dress. And I have a pretty big booty. Okay. And I didn't wear my blazer because my blazer was like one floor up and it was a fire drill. So I'm walking out as everyone else is walking out. And this girl literally like, oh my God, Jada, your booty is like so high. It's crazy. She proceeds to take both palms of her hand and literally grabs my buttocks.
That is so inappropriate.
And she's like, oh, I hope you don't mind.
Is I'm
like,
a white woman?
Duh.
But the license to touch our bodies.
From like, I think she was from like, I don't know, Alabama, moved to New York City and just thought it was A-okay to grab my ass.
That's not a race aside. It is so inappropriate.
Right.
I didn't even, my dear friends, I wouldn't even grab their ass without their permission. Unless they were like, oh my gosh, Brooke, feel my butt. I've been in Pilates and killing it and feel how firm it is.
I definitely didn't ask her to feel my butt during a freaking fire drill when I'm trying to mind my business and get back. And I already felt uncomfortable because I didn't have my vest on. Imagine that, right?
Yeah, of course.
Like not feeling comfortable because your booty is not a size 2. It's different. I'm curvy. I'm from Senegal. You know what I mean? So it's like all these things. It's just like, none of these stories surprise me. I'm sorry. None of these stories. And I have plenty of stories more to tell, but I'm just channeling that energy and like being able to show other women that you don't need that to be there. If you don't need to be there, if you're happy there, by all means,
stay.
If you want to leave, you need to walk out the door.
Yes. And a toxic work environment never gets better.
It doesn't get better. And then when you do quote unquote blow the whistle, you are targeted as well.
Yeah, you have
because
to leave.
Because you're the one, everyone's like, oh, did I offend you? Like, are you going to go to HR about that? I'm like, really? I just came here to do my damn job.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. I came here to just eat my little sweet greens and go home. Why must we do this today?
I know. One thing I did learn in 2019, as we like get more woke and conscious about things, one thing that I've learned that's very important is, especially in workplace settings or even just socially, if someone loses weight, you're not supposed to say, and you're not supposed to say like, oh, you look great. You look like you've lost weight.
That happens a lot too, huh?
And most people, if especially if they've been trying to lose weight, they take it as a huge compliment. And they're like, thank you for noticing, because I notice people.
Yeah.
And so I would be quick to be like, you look really good. You've lost weight. And people are usually flattered, but you never know what people are dealing with medically.
Right.
You don't know if they've had loss in their family and they're grieving, so they haven't been eating. And so it's this uncomfortable thing that you're not. So that was like a big lesson I learned this year.
Yeah.
That it's actually like not cool to tell people, oh, you look great. Like, have you lost weight?
Right.
It's and like, then, just don't comment on people's appearance.
Right.
Just the lesson.
Just do your job.
Yeah.
But also like, yeah, unless the person's probably been vocal about trying to lose weight or maybe training for a marathon, it's a bit different.
But even that, let's say they've lost weight and you comment on it, but then they've gained weight and then they feel like, oh, people have made this big deal about this me losing weight. So it's just like, I just feel like it's like, let's just like not comment on people's appearance.
The workplace and the beauty industry is so crazy. I mean, fashion, I think, is worse, but beauty can get very catty really quick.
When you change your hair a lot, when you're at Glossy and stuff, and people be like, oh my God, new hair. Like
Glossy, not so much compared to like my former jobs where people like, is that your hair? Or like things like that. Like it's, I think it's a bit more acceptable. Like they were actually just intrigued. Like, oh my God, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Versus other places, they were like,
what's going on here?
Yeah, what's going on here? Or just like, you can tell the intent behind a question.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's just like, okay, are you genuinely curious? And which I'm more than happy to share. I love talking about beauty anyway. But like when you have other alternative side comments or slick comments to say about it, I'm like, meh, let me not engage with.
You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
You?
Speaking of hair, let's get into pattern beauty. Flop of 2019.
Oh my God. The thing is, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what the numbers are. Can I tell you though, I went to Ulta Beauty and the saleswoman said the sweetest thing to me. She was so knowledgeable about natural hair. She put me onto this great brand called Curlsmith that I didn't know about. Mm-hmm. It's a great natural hair like brand, great ingredients. And I said, so what do you think about pattern? And she said, if you want to support sis, I recommend buying the microfiber towel. And I was like,
I like the microfiber
towel. Oh, really? Damn.
Sorry.
Damn, not even the towel.
Not even a towel. I bought the, okay, so let me tell you what I bought.
Okay.
I bought the conditioner.
Yes.
Not the leave-in, the actual conditioner.
I heard the conditioner's
the giant conditioner. I bought the shampoo in the travel size.
I heard the shampoo's a disaster for type 4 hair.
I bought the clamp.
Okay.
And then I bought the towel.
Okay. Oh, wow. You really invested.
Because it was Tracy and it was like the branding.
I know.
The rollout was beautiful.
I love Tracy.
The imagery was beautiful. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, oh my God, duh.
I love that live shower demo that she did. That was incredible.
The PR was amazing. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I have to support sis.
I'm surprised I didn't send it to you.
I am still trying to figure out my hair type.
Yeah.
So I have been transitioning for a while now. It's been maybe 2 years now.
Okay.
So I don't know technically like what my hair loves absolutely and what it hates.
Yeah.
I'm still learning. It's experimenting.
Yeah, yeah. So
when I tried on top of it something brand new like pattern, I'm like, I guess this works for me. Then I go on like Twitter. I'm like, Twitter is like not having it with pattern. Especially I have 4C low porosity hair.
Okay.
So number one, that conditioner was way too thick for my hair.
Really? Okay.
And the shampoo did its job, but like, I'm not impressed. I feel so sad saying that because it's sis.
It's okay. This is what I think is the strongest thing you could do with the feedback. And again, I'm speaking as someone who hasn't tried it, but I think the strongest thing that Tracy Ellis Ross and her team could do would be to be like, we heard the feedback.
Right.
We tested it on more hair types.
Right.
And this is like V2.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm waiting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there needs to be something with low porosity. I think there needs to be a bigger focus on 4C hair.
Yes.
Period. Or 4 hair.
Yeah.
Because Tracy, you know,
I know. And she talks about like her mom using it. And I'm like, girl, I love Diana Ross, but like,
I've never seen her hair.
That's a wig.
That's definitely a wig.
I know.
It's probably human hair wig. But
we love you, Tracy.
The icon. Oh, Tracy, we stand for you. But baby girl.
From the Joan Clayton days.
Yes. And we also love you enough to give you, you know, constructive criticism.
Exactly. 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 Any other big beauty flops of 2019?
Can we talk about Tom Ford, though? Tom Ford skincare? Where did that go? Where did it come? $400 for a damn cream. What?
With literally
dimethicone.
I was like, dimethicone? But also, like, I was like, where? Like, fine if you have toxic stuff, but what are the active? What are we paying for?
What are we talking about? Except for these imagery, which is like, okay, I don't know if I'm in, like, Black Planet. I don't know what is going on
here. You mean Black Mirror.
Black Mirror, Black Planet. What is Black Planet? Wasn't that your
dating? Black Planet was, like, a social media platform before your time.
What made me... Say it. Okay, whatever.
And I loved
him. I stand for Tom Ford.
You know, icon. When I graduated school, all I did was say, like, all I want to do is work for you. I had a meeting with, I was like fully prepared to like give my life away to be his assistant.
No way.
Love Tom Ford. So this is coming from a place of love. I just feel like that skincare launch was really out of touch with where the skincare conversation is today.
There we go. The market was different.
Yeah.
It's not enough to just be you. Which we learned with Lady Gaga, which we were learning with Tom Ford.
Yes.
And all the brands to come. Like, please just do your due diligence. Yes. If you're not really interested in skincare or makeup or beauty, whatever have you, you know, go into like automobile, go into technology.
Because Tom Ford kills it with the fragrance. I love his fragrance.
I mean, a sleek ass fucking Tom Ford.
Oh, his clothing.
Car. Could you imagine? That's sleek. Come on. Like a little Benz, like a truck or something like that with Tom Ford. I'm here for it.
Yeah, he could
do
anything.
But it's not for everyone. It's not for everyone. Not skincare.
Not skincare.
Because, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You talked about Twitter earlier. I know you have very strong opinions about...
Okay.
And I love you. Someone just tweeted the other day. She said, I love at Brooke Devard. I don't know why she doesn't get more love on here on Twitter. And I like retweeted and I was like, thank you. Because I'm like in and out of Twitter. I'm not very active. But I know there's a whole Twitter skincare community. And I'm not part of it. I see it. And I'm like, whoa. This is a lot of homegrown information that's not verified, but I'm not in it.
Homegrown.
So tell me about skincare Twitter.
Okay. So skincare Twitter is very interesting because again, I've been talking about skincare for a very long time, like on Instagram at least. And you would think that skincare Twitter would be the same sentiment, and it just doesn't resonate the same way. I feel like, and they're going to roast me, whatever, but like, it's just such a, what's the word? Hostile place.
Really?
And I'm like, it's beauty for God's.
Like, what do they get hostile about?
About facts of skincare. Like, do you know petrolatum is blah, blah, how dare you? You claim that you're an esthetician and you're telling me you're recommending retinol? I'm like, okay. So everyone's right.
Yeah.
And everyone's wrong at the same time, but there's no space for the novice to really come in there and like learn. Or if you do learn, it only needs to come from one like expert and you cannot go from other ways and be inspired. It's just so confusing to me. So this whole year I've been like just listening to skincare Twitter.
Okay.
Not gonna be, I mean, I'm sure I'm gonna get roasted, but like, I'm not a fan of skincare Twitter. It's just too hostile for me. Like, I want to have fun talking about skincare and makeup.
Yeah, well, that's why I love Reddit.
Yes,
skincare Reddit. Addiction. It's educational, supportive,
not attacking anyone. The skincare Twitter, like, people have gone to like their salons and like attacked them physically and come there and like trash their places and wrote the whole escapade on Twitter.
Yeah, we don't need that.
Yeah.
We don't need that.
So, speaking of Twitter, there was a video that broke my heart and I was very emotional about it. I don't even know why it triggered me so badly, but essentially there was a salon spa in Ghana where you literally enter, you're in a bath and they scrape the melanin off your skin.
No.
They scrape the melanin off the skin and she's just saying, look how quickly and how effective it is. This woman is literally sitting in acid. I think she's covering maybe her bosom and maybe her like groin area. But she literally is taking like a spatula and like scraping off and like you just see white flesh under it. And it's like, number one, the health risks involved are like disastrous. The video, literally, if I could just cry the whole video, I would voice that over.
This is heartbreaking.
It was so heartbreaking. Number one, it's on the continent. It's like in Ghana. She's like, you know, come in time for December. Like, you know, it's so quick. You can leave. I'm like, this is not like Botox. You're literally bleaching someone's skin within seconds. And like, what message are we sending? Like, what's going on? Like, it really broke my heart. So that was a huge beauty flop for me in 2019. And I hope that that person gets the whole institute shut down, you know, to each his own with the hustle. But like, that's just something that we don't need.
No, that's not okay.
We don't need it. We don't need it.
2020, more self-acceptance, more self-love.
No more Black China bleaching cream.
Yes. No, there's no room for that.
Yeah.
And I think we're making so much progress. Like, I think overall, 2019 was a good year for beauty, don't you?
It was. It was very progressive.
It was fun.
Yes, it was fun.
It was exciting.
It was exciting. There were new innovations. There were new shows, entertainment.
Yes.
Representation.
Yes.
Miss Universe just won yesterday. South Africa. Beautiful.
Amazing. Amazing.
So yeah, I think 2020 will be more authentic and just owning ourselves. Just space to just be.
Yes.
Can we just be?
Can we just be? And also I think 2020, there's going to be increasing depth added to the beauty conversation. Like, I think with this space that I've created with my show, for me, it's always been like beauty is much deeper than what we put on our skin. It's deep. It's personal. It's connected to our...
Yeah, yeah. It's mental. It's the language that we speak to ourselves every time. Like, oh, does this look good? Or does it look bad?
Yeah.
We're literally talking to ourselves about that. And that language that we keep, or the way we speak to each other or to ourselves rather, is super important.
Yes. So I think that's just going to get deeper and deeper. And I'm like, I'm excited for 2020.
I am so excited. I'm going to be busy, but very excited.
I know. Do you have any beauty New Year's resolutions? Like things you're going to try?
Oh my God. Retinol.
Yeah. Try it.
I'm going to try retinol and let's see.
Maybe we'll master eyeshadow in 2020.
Oh my God. I need a tutorial.
I know. Eyeshadow and wigs. Those are like the two beauty areas where I'm like, I'll get it still.
Wigs are tough.
I know. I don't think
it
I'm ready.
It depends on the stylist. It's just so many different like things, like factors into wigs, but I'm there with you.
Yeah. Okay.
You gotta send me like pictures of you trying on new wigs and I'm going to do the same.
Yes. Okay. Love that. All right. Cheers. Thank you so much for wrapping up 2019 with me. This was such a fabulous episode.
So fun.
And I'll link to all of your socials so everyone can like get to know you if they don't follow you already, because you're so fabulous. Aww. And you've been such a 2019 highlight for me. So thank you so much. And thank you guys for listening. I hope everyone is having an amazing, amazing end of their year. And I am so excited to come back and speak with you guys in 2020.
Cheers to 2020.
Yay.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.